I said it last week. I'll say it this week. You can be seated. Thank you. They have a ministry that most of us don't understand. We probably never will understand. And God hasn't really called us to understand. But he has called us to honor those that have authority over us. I'm a firm believer in the church and in society that if we could get back to respecting authority, many of the issues that we face would go away overnight. Overnight. People have a problem with authority. If they have a problem with authority in their natural life, it's only a matter of time before that spirit saturates into the church. I want to say thank you for what you've done for my wife. I'm not, you know how I am. And you probably can understand what it's like to be married to me. And it should give you all, you ladies, a testimony to testify about how God's blessed you that you're not married to me. But I can say with 100% assurity that my wife, without her, I'm not standing here. She is the heartbeat of our family. She's the best thing that ever happened to me on this earth. I'm not saying this to butter her up, even though if she's watching and it works, I'll take every bit of it I can get. But God knew what he was doing. God knows what he's doing if we'll learn to follow him. I do want to make a couple announcements before I get started. One, again, this was found in the ladies' restroom. It's a Motorola flip phone that's red. On the back, there's a sticker of a puppy eating an ice cream cone. I believe it's from the wedding yesterday, but if not, if you're not embarrassed because you have a sticker on your phone, you can come get it after church. I do want to say this. I want to thank everybody that's getting involved with the things that are going on. I thought our worship team sounded fantastic today. I'm thankful for what they're doing, those that are taking a part in the service. Yesterday here at the church, we had a wedding, and there was about 150 people in this sanctuary for the wedding. We had our own two gentlemen that came to run sound because I officiated the wedding, and I want to thank them publicly, Brother Carl and Brother Greg. Now you say, well, what's the big deal about that? At the very same time, there was a huge wedding in Jefferson where two of the members got married, and a lot of the membership were involved in that wedding. And what it encouraged me to see is that we have what we need to be able to function as an assembly. It was great to be able to do that and to support them at the same time. So I want to thank everybody. A special thank you to Brother Carl, who is running our live stream today, and Brother Greg, who runs our sound, for the work that they did. I also want to thank the ladies. It really, really inspired my wife yesterday. They had their first ladies' Bible study at our house at 10 in the morning. And I want to thank you for coming. It really did brighten up my wife's day. I've heard good things that you guys enjoyed yourself. I thought it was a very good turnout. And I also want to thank everyone that baked baked goods because I was blessed beyond measure. They talked about agape love, and I felt it for the Danish, and I felt it for the cookies. I felt agape love yesterday for what was baked, and there's some still left at home, so I'm going to have another day. It's a whole weekend of agape love, but thank you for that. I really sincerely mean that. I want you to understand Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, 6 days from today, here at the church, from 11 to 1, we are having a children's ministry fall rally. Every day I get more and more confirmation that there are children, more children coming. I'm thinking about right now where we stand. We're probably looking at about between 60 and 75 kids. I'm hoping to hit 100. I want to hit 100. So we've run those invitations. If you have grandchildren, nieces, nephews, neighbors, bring them to church. This is a very good opportunity. How many of you wish there were more things that your children could be involved in on a daily basis where they could connect with other good kids? This is one of them. They don't, we're talking ages 3 to 12. They don't have their license. They need support. So please bring somebody out. We're going to have food. We're going to have games. The evangelist that's coming is a young man from Zanesville. He's all fired up. He told me I've got his message, what he's going to preach on. He's going to decorate the sanctuary. He's ready to go. our Section 1 Children's Ministry Director, Brother Fiesel. I spoke with him last night. He's super excited. My wife is very excited. I'm very excited. Please come and bring kids with you. This is not so happy of an announcement, but I want to make this as well for the same reason. The following Saturday, which will be October the 25th, 10:30 here at the church, we are going to host our first what we're calling a grief or a loss ministry meeting. It's designed for those that have lost a loved one, lost a spouse, a child, maybe someone that's gone through a divorce or a separation or is dealing with grief or loss. I believe with everything in me that this can be a ministry to heal, a ministry to help you cope, a ministry of support, and a ministry of connection. I can only speak for myself. My mother was 9 years younger than my father, and my dad died unexpectedly at 63. My mom became a widow at 54. She was devastated. She didn't like coming to church. She made my brother and I rearrange the platform to take my dad's chair off of it. She gave away my father's clothes. She couldn't deal with it. She really struggled for many months until they started, it was basically a widows group at the church. And there was about 5 or 6 widows that started going on vacation together and started going out to eat together and started going to concerts together, and it changed all of their lives. There was one lady in the group that was still married, and her husband, God bless him, he became the de facto van driver when they went places, and we would just pray for him because we're like, you've got a sincere ministry from God to put them women in that car and drive to, they went to Florida once. Now, but in all seriousness, if you are struggling, if you're struggling emotionally, if you're struggling spiritually, you need to not isolate yourself. You need to connect yourself with brothers and sisters that are going through things, that understand and can help you with that. That will be 10:30 Saturday, October the 25th. Those are the only announcements I have other than this. It was announced this morning in Jefferson. We announced it last week, and I want to thank those that have already taken part in Jefferson. The Jefferson campus is having a trunk or treat on that Saturday, October the 25th, from 4 to 7. They need help. They need volunteers to help run it. They need people to decorate and have trunks in the trunk or treat, and they can also use all of the candy donations that anybody wants to donate. I've already delivered some. I have some in my office then. Conneaut campus is also doing one. Theirs is not till the 31st, but they are asking for basically the same support. They need volunteers. They need people to be trunks. They also need candy donations. So if you would be led at all to do any of those things and you want to bring them here to the church, we can collect them in my office, and then my wife and I can take them to the various campuses, and God will bless you for that. But remember those, because they are coming up very quickly, and I want to be specific. They need help. So whatever it is that you can do, I'm sure it would be greatly appreciated. Turn with your Bibles with me, if you would, stand. I want to be cognizant of time today. I told Brother Ty, Brother Ty does a good job. He's my Elisha minister, and he supports me, and he makes fun of me, and he said he's feeling tall today. So when you see him, just tell him how tall he looks today. But I told Brother Ty, I said, I'm feeling some faith today. I'm feeling some faith. And I was going to say something, because I know many of you know how I am, and you know that I'm kind of ornery. Well, today, and I know our crowd is a little bit smaller because some of our brothers and maybe some of our sisters backslid today and stayed home because the Browns are playing the Steelers. And I said, I'm feeling a little bit of faith because they're playing right now. I said, I think I'm going to say something about how I'm going to guarantee who's going to win. And then I said, I better not do that because I know God. So here's what I'm going to say. If you miss church because you went home, I hope both teams lose. I hope it's -1 to -1. Everybody that's important gets hurt, misses the game, and they don't get paid, and you're desperate and miserable, and you paid for all that pizza for nothing. Amen? All right, let's get into the Word. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read two verses of Scripture in your hearing to take a thought, and I want to be quick today. Acts 4 says this, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." I want to read that one more time. "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." If I was to put a title on this afternoon, I want to speak to you about an eyewitness account. An eyewitness account. You can put your Bibles down. Let's ask God's blessing over this sermon. Lord Jesus, we come to you this afternoon, appreciative, Lord, of your Spirit that is in this place. I ask you now to anoint me, Lord. Allow me to speak under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Deliver this word, Lord, as you have given to me. Allow it to fall on fertile ears and fallow ground that can receive this word into their hearts and that it can spring up some 30, 60, and 100-fold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated this afternoon. Eyewitness account. Now, we're going to talk about one basic story in the Bible. Many of you probably know it. If you're apostolic and you've read the second chapter of the book of Acts, you know that on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And we understand that. It's preached a lot. We talk about it a lot. The next chapter, in chapter 3, we read a story where Peter and John go up to the temple at the hour of prayer, and they're going to pray, and they meet a man that's lame, and they perform a miracle on that man. We're not going to read it word for sake of time, but they take him by his hand, and they say, "Such as I have, give I unto you in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up." And he steps up to his feet, being lame from his mother's womb. His feet and ankle bones gain strength, and he stands on his feet, and they walk into the temple together. He's leaping and praising God, and everybody around sees what has just happened. We're going to talk about that a little bit today in some sort of depth. I want you to understand something. What we just read in Acts 4 and 19 is Peter and John's response. Because when they perform this miracle, people start to go crazy. They add 5,000 members. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people get saved. Just a few days later, they're going up to the temple, and the Bible will talk about it. It says 5,000 men join the faith because of this miracle they see. And we see the New Testament, the first century church, is exploding like crazy. I want you to understand something. The one thing that the apostles preached. We talked about this in Bible study this Wednesday, and I want to read it the way we read it in Bible study. The number one thing that the apostles preached all throughout the book of Acts was the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and was alive forevermore. They didn't preach anything other than that. We preach a lot of things. We teach Bible studies on a lot of things. We take the whole scripture and we talk about it. We break it down. And I'm for that. Let me tell you something. I'm for that. I love to study the Word of God. I like to study the Greek and the Hebrew. I like to really look into different translations and read them. I love doing things that a lot of people don't. But the first century church, they preached the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that he was alive. They preached it because they witnessed it firsthand. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. If you don't learn anything today, you'll learn this. And you probably already know this because Book of Acts is our book. In Acts chapter 1, we get the primary qualifications biblically to be an apostle. You know, we have the fivefold ministry now, and they talk about pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles and those things. Well, scripturally, in Book of Acts, chapter 1, it gives you the qualifications to be an apostle. They're talking about Judas Iscariot, who was one of the original 12. He committed suicide. He hung himself after he betrayed the Lord. The Bible says he fell headlong and his bowels gushed out. It was a terrible death. But after that, they were down to 11, and they decided to fulfill or fill his role with another person. They call it his bishopric or his ministry. And let's pick up chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Lord, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, shew whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. To be an apostle according to Scripture, you had to meet three qualifications. You had to be a direct witness of Jesus' ministry. You had to be chosen and commissioned by Christ. And this is the one that I've always been taught, was taught to me for many years. You had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection. You had to have seen the risen Lord. So when the Lord came out of the tomb, you had to be a witness of his ministry. They wanted you to accompany, as it said, and accompany his ministry from the baptism of John, when John baptized him. You wanted to be accompanied with that. You realized there was a lot more than 12. There was a lot more disciples than just 12. There was many. That you had to accompany that, and you had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected. You had to have seen the risen Lord. That's why the apostles preached the way they did. Remember, these are regular men. They're not super educated. They're not super talented. They're fishermen for the most part, farmers. One was a publican. One was a zealot. He was an insurrectionist. He was a January 6th person. I didn't get any amens. They were so from a wide variety of backgrounds, education levels, nationalities. And they begin to preach a message with boldness that they had seen the risen Lord. The opposition that the early church faced had nothing to do with speaking in tongues. It had nothing to do with miracles. It had nothing to do with signs and wonders. The early church faced opposition because the Sanhedrin and those in power could not let it be established that Jesus rose from the dead. That's what makes us apostolic. Now, who in here is an eyewitness to that? Not me. The apostles were willing to die for this message, because they were eyewitnesses to the death, the burial, and most importantly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were there the day he was crucified. They were there the day he was betrayed. They were in the garden with him. They followed afar off, but they saw the trial. They realized what had happened. They watched Jesus be scourged. They watched Jesus crucified. They saw Jesus die. They watched him die. They were so afraid that they were next that they went into Jerusalem and began to hide. If you'll notice, on Resurrection Sunday or the first day of the week, the women were the first to the tomb, because the 11 at that point were locked up in a hiding from what was going to happen to them. But then they saw the risen Lord. Do you remember the story where they were in a room and the Bible says the door being locked? And all of a sudden, Jesus appears. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine, I tell Chris, hey, lock those doors. Nobody's getting out till we get a better offering. Anybody seen those YouTube videos? You better honor the pastor. Good idea. Lock them doors. No. Could you imagine we lock the doors and all of a sudden I'm up here preaching, I'm up here talking, and poof, Jesus is standing right there. And you know it's him, just like they did, because he's got hands or holes in his hands. He's got a sword imprint in his side. He's got holes in his feet, and he's standing there. It inspired these men so much that they began to preach Jesus Christ. These weren't preachers. These weren't educated men. We're not talking about the Apostle Paul yet, who becomes an apostle, and we can talk about how he saw the risen Lord because he gives explanation of it. He called himself the least of the apostles. These are Peter and Andrew and James and John and the other 12 fishermen, farmers, common everyday men who now become, they're so bold. They go up. Could you imagine having this boldness? I'm a preacher and we don't have this boldness. They're walking into the church and there's a man laying there lame, who the Bible says he fixed his eyes upon them expecting to receive something. And he asked of them alms or money. And they said, silver and gold, we don't have any of that. They were apostolic preachers. They didn't have any money. Get with me. We take up the offering. We're oneness. We put one in. We're oneness. We don't put three. We put one. There's a lot of $1. It's a joke. Calm down. I'm not talking about money. They said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand up. Who has that boldness? Do you know why they had that boldness? Because of what they had seen. Because of what they had seen. Listen, I want to be very plain. It is time for the church to become the church. Any given Sunday, there are individuals that will come into this place that have real issues. I'm not talking about you woke up this morning and your sinuses are draining. And it's the end of the world. I can't make it, Pastor. I'm talking about you walk into a building with this number of people. There are people here that have lost loved ones this week. There are people here that have got diagnoses that are fatal this week. There are people here that this morning, and I'm not saying this definitively right now, I'm saying this hypothetically. When we walk into this place, we can assume there are people here whose spouse told them this week, our marriage is over. It is time for the church to become the church. We oftentimes do not have the boldness of the apostles because we haven't seen what they saw. We have secondhand information encounters. Listen, I'm going to be real plain. I'm not going to scream at you. I'm not going to yell at you about it, but I want to make this point. We talk a lot about things that we've heard. We've heard testimonies from overseas of what God can do. Let me tell you what changes your mind is when you see what God can do. We had an evangelist that was just with us not even probably 3 months ago who talked and spoke of services that he was in where people would come up for prayer with no eyeball in their socket. They would lay hands on them, and God would miraculously put a seeing eye in their eye socket. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to see it. Let me be plain without being rude. The church has got to get rid of the philosophy that it's okay to fake it until we make it. We've got to stop living off the testimonies of yesteryear, and we've got to start with boldness to declare the name of Jesus Christ. Peter and John are called before the leaders of that time because they walk in. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to give you these in a hurry. Is anybody taking notes? If not, I won't give them. If somebody's taking notes, tell me. All right, you got to write fast. Get ready. The central theme of the New Testament is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the central theme of the entire New Testament. We get way big caught up on all the epistles, but let me tell you this. I'm going to read some scripture texts. I'm not going to read them. I'm going to give them to you. Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. Acts chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Acts chapter 10, verses 39 through 41. Acts 17, verses 2 and 3, Romans 1 and 4, Romans 4 and 25, Romans 10 and 9, 1 Corinthians 15 and 4, Ephesians 1 and 2, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 14, 1 Peter 1 and 3. I'm not reading any of them, and that is not an exhaustive list. That's just ones that I threw together that talk about teaching Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Why is it today? This is the thought I want to talk about for the rest of the message. I'm on my last page of notes. Why is it today that the church is not as bold as it once was? In our opening text, the boldness of Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 is mentioned in verse 13. And then it's prayed for in verse 29. They were very comfortable speaking boldly because they knew without hesitation what they had seen with their own eyes. They weren't concerned. They told them. Then turn with me to Acts chapter 3. I'll just pick up. I don't have this written down, so that you're not going to have these. Brother Carl, if you can find them, that's fine. If not, there's no big issue. And as the lame man which was healed, verse 11, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So they just performed this miracle. The man stands up, he's holding Peter and John, and here comes everybody running. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of our fathers hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." You think Brother Mike preaches plain. Peter looks at these people and says, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. He invokes the God of the Old Testament. He invokes Yahweh because he knew what the Jews held him in respect for. And they said, this man stands here before you because his son, who you murdered, you did it. Pilate wanted to let him go, but you begged him to murder him. You did this, the holy and the just one, and you killed the Prince of Peace, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. That's what he preached to him. He said, you killed Jesus, and he's raised from the dead, and we saw it. And it's because of that that this man stands before you healed. If you'll read down through it, it says they couldn't argue with him. How are you going to argue? If a lady comes in here in a wheelchair, okay, if a lady comes in a wheelchair and we all know her and she's been in a wheelchair since we've known her and she can't walk and we know that and she wheels up to the front, and I or whoever here stands before and says, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And she walks, not this fake, not this Benny Hinn nonsense. I'm talking she stands up and walks out of here. And 2 weeks later, you go down to the mall and you see her walking. What are you, how are you going to argue? We've got secondhand knowledge. That's why the church isn't as bold as it used to be. We fake it till we make it. We want it so bad that we act like we've had an actual encounter when nothing has really changed. We get into a service and we get excited because it feels good. And don't leave here and say I'm against this stuff, because I'm more for this stuff than anybody you've ever met. But there comes a time when our programs and our organization and how much we practice and the things that we put into place and the spirit of excellence of how we're supposed to deliver it and how clean we keep the church and how we function in decency and in order, there comes a time when we do all of those things, it doesn't meet the need for what we have, and we've got to have a real encounter with the Holy Ghost where people's lives are changed, where they have no argument about it. It doesn't happen all the time. When Peter and John were on their way to the temple, they were not expecting a miracle. They were going to pray. It was the hour of prayer. It was their habit. So let me preach another thing for 3 seconds. Stop chasing signs. The church world is weak because we have members that won't commit to one assembly, and they're going to every miracle service that they can be in because they're chasing signs. The scripture says, these signs shall follow them that believe, not these that believe shall follow after signs. So if you hear tale that the church across town, someone had blinded eyes open, you don't need to be there next Sunday. You need to commit to this house of God and let God move here. Amen, Pastor Mike. That's good preaching. Peter and John didn't go up there to perform a miracle. They went up to pray. I've told you this. This has been my hobby horse. I'm going to keep beating it because it ain't dead yet. I'm not putting a banner out front that says healing service. If you're waiting for it, you're going to wait till you die. I'm not putting on social media to come out that we're going to have miracles, signs, and wonder. I'm not doing it. If you want it, you're probably going to need to go somewhere else. Not one of you liked it. Amen. Amen, Brother Mike. You're preaching good. Because you don't have to do that when you've been an eyewitness account. You can lay hands on people in Bath and Body Works, and God can raise them up. You can walk into funeral homes and speak life and see the dead raised to life. You can walk into a hospital room and speak life over someone that has cancer, and the next day the doctor comes in and says, I have no idea what has happened. I know what has happened. It's not our faith. It's not our holiness, but Jesus Christ, who was dead, is alive forevermore. He's on the throne, and he can do all things. What will build the church's faith is if we start to see some things, not hear about it. Now, let me tell you something. I've been in a church for almost 30 years, and I don't see something every service. Doesn't mean that service isn't important, but there are milestones in my walk with God where God allowed me to experience stuff that I can't just explain away. I can't just say I was emotional. I can't just say that I was facing something and I just felt overwhelmed. I'm talking about where I've seen people healed miraculously. I'm talking about where I've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost, where you there was no doubt in your mind. You didn't wonder, well, maybe they just got a good blessing. I'm talking about you see people laid out in the floor. We talked about this in Bible study Wednesday. I remember church services where people came up. We laid hands on a lady that was a truck driver, and she had lost her job because her retina had detached from the back of her eyeball, and she could not pass a vision test. She was not a believer. She came to the altar with pants on. She had on a cargo, like, Carhartt shirt. She had tattoos all over her arms. Her mother was a member. She did not believe. Her mother brought her up to pray for her. I could take you to the place. It was a Sunday morning. We laid hands upon her, and we began to pray. It wasn't supernatural in the experience. There wasn't fire that fell from heaven like we think is going to happen. All we did was pray. She walked back to her seat. She sat down. About 10 minutes later, the service just kept going on. All of a sudden, the lady jumped up and started screaming, I can see! I can see! I can see! You don't tell anybody any different than that, because they held up papers and said, what does this say? And she began to read them. You see a miracle, you have a little bit more boldness. But how did they get the boldness? It says that the leaders looked on him and they said, these are ignorant and unlearned men. Honor your pastor because he's an ignorant and unlearned man. I got an amen on that. I couldn't get one on the other thing. Thank you. I am. That's funny. That's good. Whoever said that, you get a cookie after church. It says they were ignorant and unlearned men. But they had to take knowledge of them because they had been with Jesus. We can do all the things, and I want to do them all. I want to do them all. I want to do every outreach initiative that we can do. I want to knock doors. I've already been to sign shops. I've already ordered banners that we're going to put in front of the church. I ordered one. If you'll notice, I went down and hand-cut the lot on 20, not with the riding mower, with the push mower, to make it real nice so that when we go down there and stand on Route 20 with signs that say Jesus loves you and point up to the church, it looks nice where we're at. I'm for all of this stuff. I'm a crazy person. I believe in church. I'm for all of the things that we can do. I'm for ordering the signs that we're going to have our young people stand outside that say, you look beautiful today. We're going to lie to all the precious ladies in the church and tell them how pretty they look as they walk in to make them feel better. I'm all for the fellowship. I told Sister Terry this week, man, the church smells so good. I'm all for that. I'm all for controlling the smell. I'm all for controlling the time. I'm all for running the vacuum 15 times a day. I'm all for the songs. I'm all for the Elisha ministry. I'm for the ladies coming to my house. I'm for all of it. And I want us to do it more and more and more and more and more. But what's really going to make this church grow is when we start spending some time with Jesus. Whether we're ignorant, whether we're unlearned, and God gives us that boldness. that we cannot speak ourselves, we cannot speak our talents, we cannot speak our abilities, we cannot speak our experiences, but we can speak the name of Jesus Christ into people's lives, and we see things immediately begin to happen. When you speak it over someone and you see their marriage put back together, you see their health put back together, you see a relationship with their parents after abuse has happened put back together, you see someone come back to the altar that you believed was never going to step foot in a church again, and you're standing next to them as they turn and they are speaking in a heavenly language, we are going to see those things, we're going to speak those things, and we're going to become eyewitness accounts to those things. I want to read what I wrote. The church in Acts chapter 4 prayed for spiritual help. They said this. It's Acts 4, 29 through 31. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They were in a tough time. We act like we're in a tough time. We say all these things. There's a war on Christmas. Really? In Ashtabula, there's a war on Christmas. When we have brothers and sisters of like precious faith in Nigeria literally being slaughtered, cut into pieces, not spiritually, literally. They won't let me say Christmas at work. Really? In the book of Acts, they were threatened. And they said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we can speak your word. Not remove the threatenings. Not fix the situation. Not God take care of the storm. Not God can you make the soft winds blow. They didn't pray for any of that. They said, God, behold the threatenings and give us thy servants boldness that we can speak your word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. What the church needs now more than ever is we need to be rebaptized in the Holy Ghost. We need a Holy Ghost outpouring where the whole church gets filled up, where the wind of Pentecost blows through the windows, and every member sitting in the building is baptized in the Holy Ghost. I've already started praying it. So if you're scared of speaking in tongues, this might not be the place for you, because I'm going to pray God right down on you, and I'm going to start laying hands on people, and we're going to start seeing things. And when we see it, there's going to be no doubt about it. So if you're scared, raise your hand, because I'm going to pray God lets you get over that fear real quick. It's time to fill this house with people that need to see something from God, and we need to spend time with Jesus, that when we walk in, we can with boldness say, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk and see miracles in this place. Amen. They didn't ask for God to take care of the situation. I'm not asking God to put the right people in power so that the children of God can have peace. We don't need peace. The Bible says when they say peace, peace, sudden destruction's coming. You can celebrate the peace accord all you want. I see it as a sign that Jesus is about to come back. And the Bible says when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? And I'm determined to say, I don't know about any place else, but he's going to find it in Ashtabula, Ohio. Because there's some people that are going to stand on the word of God. Amen. Eyewitness accounts. You want to know why I can say the things about my wife that I say? And I mean the good things, not the other things. Ask her what I said about her dress today. Don't. I'm already in trouble. I showed her a video. You know why I can say it? Because I was there. My wife was raised Roman Catholic. My mother-in-law, who I've grown to love, it's taken a long time. It's taken her just as long to grow to love me. She has her master's in theology. She's as high as a woman can go in the Catholic Church. She's not allowed to be ordained, but she was the director of religious education for the Youngstown Diocese. She's very, very learned. She's a hospice chaplain. She's licensed as a minister to do communion, to do funerals. I've done several funerals where she was the officiator of the funeral. She raised my wife. My wife was Roman Catholic. When we got married, my wife was Roman Catholic. We were not saved. Neither one of us. Neither one of us wanted to be saved. I was there. My wife had no knowledge of anything apostolic. The first service she came into is just like other Roman Catholics that come in here. They see how we act, and they are scared to death. They heard me preach like this. They'd say, what? And that guy's got a devil in him. I was in the service. I had been seeking the Lord for over a year for God to fill me with the Holy Ghost, and I had not gotten it yet. And I did what every other person did. I started inviting my wife to church, and my wife told me, I'm not going to church. I didn't sign up for church. I'm not raising my kids like this. And you can ask her. Her word was, I'm not raising our kids to look like Raggedy Ann and Andy. I don't believe in that stuff. We didn't agree to this when we got married. There was no talk of church. That wasn't in our vows. My wife and I almost divorced when I started to try to serve God. She's like, I'm not giving up this. I'm not going to stop wearing makeup. I'm not going to stop wearing jewelry. I'm not going to stop cutting my hair. I'm not going to stop wearing pants because I'm ugly and I need all those things. And like a good husband, I never disagree with my wife. That was to break the tension. Calm down. All the husbands want to laugh, but they can't because they're sitting next to their wife. So finally, she said one day, she said, I'm going to go to church with you. I'll go on Sunday mornings. Here's the worst thing you can do. She started coming on Sunday mornings, and there was the overzealous people, because we had church on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. All you overzealous people, I know your heart's in the right place, but your technique is not good. We would be walking out of the church. It took everything in my power to get her to come Sunday morning. She survived church. We'd be walking out. And here they come, the overzealous people. So will you be back tonight? You'll be back tonight. We have church at 6. You'll be back tonight, right? You're coming back tonight. And she'd be like, they make me lie right in the church. Even if I did repent, I got to lie because I'm not coming back. But I don't want them to yell at me. So I'm like, yeah, we'll be back. And then she didn't come back. And then it was like, she's a liar. Every once in a while, she'd come if we had a special service. Because there'd be a bigger crowd. We could sit farther in the back. We could come in late, leave early. The preacher's name was Mike Adkins. He's from Flat Top, Kentucky. The same town as Billy Ray Cyrus, one of the greatest singers ever, who wrote one of the greatest songs of all time, Achy Breaky Heart. If my hair could grow, thank God it doesn't, because I would have Billy Ray Cyrus's 1989 haircut. He looked sweet. He raised a crazy daughter, but Billy Ray was the man. Preacher's name was Mike Adkins. He was ignorant and unlearned. He was not dignified. He was no one that anybody knew. He was preaching for my father. He began to preach a sermon on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And he went into great detail, physically, of what happened to the earthly body of Jesus during a crucifixion. And he talked about how crucifixion was a death of asphyxiation, where you basically smothered to death. That's why they broke their legs, so they would have no power to lift themselves up, and their body weight, fluid would fall in their lungs and they would die. It was excruciating. It was meant to humiliate them and be as painful as possible. And he began to preach this. I had heard it 10,000 times. It did nothing to me.
I was quoting the scriptures as he was saying them. I was finishing his words, not even paying attention. About 40 minutes into his message, remember old school church when you didn't get a hurry, preacher just kind of preached. I watched as my wife, who you know now, is not one to get out of, she's not me. My wife is much more demure. She doesn't want to show herself. I do. I love showing myself. She was sitting about right here. There was no altar service. The guy's up preaching. Here's my wife. She has pants on. She has a face full of makeup. She got earrings. She had an earring up here. We got in a fight one time. She pierced her ear up here to show that she was not going to be under submission. She said, "What do you think of my earring?" I said, "You look like a pirate." You have no idea. You guys should feel, you have no idea what I've dealt with. She stood up from her seat and she ran. Our church wasn't even this big. It was shorter. She ran to the altar. If you know anything about my wife, she'll never run in front of you. Never. She won't. I've seen her run maybe three times my whole life. If our house caught on fire, she'd rather die than run. She ran to the altar. No teaching. No 6-week Bible study. No encouraging. No going back and pulling her to the altar. She ran to the altar. Here's an apostolic boy raised in the church whose dad is the pastor at the time. He's on the platform. I'm unsaved. I've been seeking the Lord for a year for the Holy Ghost. My wife, who fought with me before church about even coming to church, runs to the altar. And in 10 seconds, she stands to her feet, raises her hands, and begins to speak in tongues for about 20 minutes. That's not even the best part of the story. My brother's wife, who had never stepped foot in a church really, who was friends with my wife just as sister-in-laws, takes off and runs up the aisle during the preaching to the other side of the altar, lays down her head on the altar, and I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, you could see it was like a current of electricity ran down the altar and smacked my sister-in-law. She stood to her feet and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. So go ahead, tell my wife it's not real. There's a lot of things that she still doesn't understand. There's a lot of things that we understand in part and we prophesy in part, but you will never convince her that the Holy Ghost isn't real and that it's for everybody because she was an eyewitness. It happened to her. Go ahead and tell me that God doesn't save anymore and all you're doing is wasting oxygen because I've seen too much. I don't know everything and I can't understand everything, but I know that the Holy Ghost is real because Jesus came out of the grave and it said if that same Spirit that abided in him abides in you, he's going to change these mortal bodies and we're going home to be just like him. You want to know all about the book of Revelations? You're going to have to find it from somewhere else. Because I'm not even concerned about it. I'll be honest. Figure it all out. Figure out what every vow means and die without the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you're going to find out firsthand about those vows. We need a revival of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad you're on my side now because I said all that to say this. Who in here needs it? Well, I got quiet. It got quiet real quick. Who in here needs the Holy Ghost? You want it? It's here right now. It's here right now. The Holy Ghost is here right now. It'll solve every one of your spirits. It's here right now. It'll lead and guide you into all truth. Don't tell me you think that you've had it. I think one time I spoke. Do you know right now? Are you willing to die for what you believe? If not, you can stand to your feet. You don't even have to come up here. Throw your hands up. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost in this place in the next 15 seconds. You want your family put back together? You need the Holy Ghost. You want your marriage put back together? You need the Holy Ghost. You got problems with being abused when you were young? You need the Holy Ghost. You got a problem with being abused right now? You need the Holy Ghost. Have you got a bad diagnosis? You need the Holy Ghost. We need an outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have problems in your mind? You need to pray through to the Holy Ghost. Listen, I'm not going to be a preacher that begs you. But I'm going to pray this vision into your mind. And I'm going to tell you where I stand and then I'm done. And I hope this eats at your spirit every night. Because there's some of you that I know. You're looking at me right now. You need the Holy Ghost. You do not have the Holy Ghost. And you're going to walk out of this place again without the Holy Ghost. So those of you that do have it, I'm going to ask you to do something with me. I'm going to pray that when you lay down to sleep at night, you get a vision of our Lord hanging on a tree, saying your name, because you are the reason that he went to Calvary. You are the reason, as they were whipping his back, he didn't call 10,000 angels. He said, hit me again, because in 2025, there's going to be a church that needs my spirit. I'm praying right now. I want the church to stand to their feet. I want us to have a move of the Holy Ghost. If you need something from God, you need to receive it in this place today. And we need to be eyewitnesses and an account of a move of God. If you don't need the Holy Ghost, find someone that does and pray with them until God pours out the Holy Ghost. When it happens tonight, I don't want you to be mad at Pastor Mike. Don't be upset with me, because the only thing that can leave this world with you that you didn't bring into this world is the Spirit of God. It's going to take you up out of the grave if you have it. And if you don't have it, the Bible says without his Spirit, you are none of his. If you need the Holy Ghost, why? Why would you leave when there's a free gift available right now? In the name of Jesus, as they sing, as they begin to worship, why don't we flood this altar and talk to God? Why don't we see an eyewitness account? Why don't you get deliverance of the things that you're going through? Why don't you throw depression on this altar? Why don't you throw fear and anxiety on this altar? Why are you up in a battle when the victor is here? We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Pray until something happens. Push until something happens. Believe until something happens. Let God be God in his house.
You provide the fire and I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the Spirit, and I will open up inside. Oh, yes, Jesus, you provide the fire. And I'll provide the sacrifice. Oh, you provide the spirit. And I will open up inside. Oh, fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. You provide the fire, and I'll provide the sacrifice. Yes, you provide the spirit. And I will open up inside. Oh, yes, oh, you provide the fire. And I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. And I will open up inside. Oh, Lord, fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me. God, overflow, permeate all my soul, love of God, overflow, permeate all my soul. God, fill me up, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, fill me up, God, fill me up, God. Fill me up till I overflow. I want to flow over. I want to flow over. Fill me up till I overflow. I want to flow over.
Amen, amen, amen. I thank you for your attention this afternoon. I believe this is becoming a house of hope.
Yeah.
I want you to tell everybody that you know, and I want to be plain about this. We've got enough church people here. We need some people that need Jesus. Our God can do anything. I want our days of being afraid of the drug addict, afraid of the person that has some domestic violence charges, the person that's got a prison sentence looking at them. I want those days of us being afraid of those people to end. Because I believe what they need is they need an encounter with Jesus Christ. And I want this to be the place that they find him. So I'm encouraging you. The person that you're kind of nervous about inviting because you're not sure if you even want him here, I want you to invite him. If you don't want him to sit by you, they can come sit by me. I'll have him sit on Ty's lap. He's tall now. He can handle it. One thing before we go, and I do want to say this, and I mean this. And I want you, amen. That's a good amen. Didn't these three ladies do a fantastic job singing today? Even if I didn't get flowers, I love you. And since I'm the one who's dignified and who's very discreet and very consecrated and very put together, I'll say thank you for my wife, for the flowers. I see a look on her face when I know that it touched her, and I know that it did. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere as a church, and we want all of you to come along for the ride. I believe God's going to do something. I want to say this as we dismiss. Please remember the announcement that I made about both Fall Fest and Trunk for Treats. Jefferson's on the 25th, Conneaut on the 31st. They need everything that you could possibly do. They need assistance with people. They need people to decorate their cars as trunks. They need all the candy they can get. So if you want to be involved, let me know or get in touch with those from those campuses. If you want to donate candy, I promise, if you give it to me, I won't eat any of it. I will store it and make sure that it gets where it needs to be. But if you want to do that, I have some in my office already. We'll collect that and make sure it gets to where it needs to be. This is a good opportunity for us to reach our community. So please, if you feel led at all to do that, remember those dates. Are all minds clear? Let's bow our heads and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, God, we thank you for another beautiful day. God, we thank you for your spirit that was in this house. Lord, we appreciate because we know that you are alive forevermore, that the grave could not hold you. Lord, that you're in heaven and you sit up high and look down low. You are what we need, God. You are the answer to every question, God. You are the answer to every trial that we're going to face, God. And we come to you because we know that you can do all things. Be in this place, Lord. You are welcome here. Have the preeminence to just move as you see fit. We love you, God. We give you all praise. We give you all glory. We give you all honor. Help us to love one another as you do, as we strive to serve you better and to build up your kingdom. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Love one another before you leave.